What has God not done for you? What has God held back from you? What legitimate excuse can you have for not humbling yourself, acknowledging your need, saying, I am a leper in need of cleansing? He is willing, He is able, and has cleansed. What are you going to do with that cleansing? But return and give glory to God. Are you going to stay with the nine? Or are you going to join the one?
This weekend on the Songtime broadcast, as we continue our study in the Gospel of Luke, we'll look at this story from David Murray in Luke chapter 17 as Jesus encounters 10 lepers, all of which whom he healed, but one who got something even greater than an answer to prayer. Stay tuned for that, but first, we're going to be joined by Denise Hughes, who's written a book called Sanctuary on how to cultivate a heart of peace. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. Our guest this weekend is Denise Hughes. She's written a book called Sanctuary, Cultivating a Quiet Heart in a Noisy and Demanding World. And this is obviously a very attractive idea. Denise, people are looking for sanctuary. People are looking for rest because, as you put here, we do live in a noisy and demanding world. It is a chaotic world. But it seems like something that is far too elusive because just closing our eyes to the troubles in our world do not make them go away. Just checking out and separating ourselves from the cares of this world do not solve our problems. So for any of our listeners who are curious about how to find true sanctuary, true rest, what advice do you have for them on why the importance of this doctrine of sanctuary is so important in our lives, even though the world that we're living in, it seems to be falling apart right before our eyes?
That's such a good question, because we do go through those seasons where life is chaos, and maybe even there's trauma and suffering. And I think one of the most important ways to really have a quiet heart in a world where our own personal world might be falling apart and we're holding it together with a paperclip and a rubber band, in that kind of season, having an eternal perspective is what is so important. Knowing that right here, right now, this isn't all there is. There is an eternal life waiting for us. And that's where we put our hope. We don't put our hope in the here and now. We put our hope in Christ and being with Him for all eternity. And that gets us through the here and now, knowing that this isn't all that there is, and knowing that pain has an expiration date. That's where our hope comes from. And it's because of what Christ did on the cross that we can have that hope and we can have that eternal perspective. So anybody who's going through that right now, I would just want to encourage them. Yeah, having a quiet heart isn't about checking off a list of things to do. It's about knowing that everything you're going through right now, it's temporary and there's a better life waiting for us.
There's also a component here where there's listeners who are saying, I have my life put together. God has blessed me. I'm grateful. I'm happy. But this is a communal project, isn't it? It's not just an individual thing. There are plenty of people in our lives that we can actually be helping in this process. You actually provide some of those practical tips on what you can do for others in your life. What encouragement do you have for our listeners on how to create a place of sanctuary in community?
Oh, that's such a great question. Really, it starts with your personal relationship with God and then your relationships with those closest around you. And really trying to create our homes to be a place of sanctuary for our spouse and for our children. If we have kids, our homes can be a place of sanctuary. And even if we're single, to be able to open our doors and to invite people in. One of my prayers has always been, Lord, when I have guests coming into my home, would they just sense a spirit of peace, your spirit of peace? Would they just be filled with you and your presence, and let this be a place where people can relax and take off their shoes and just breathe out and exhale. And I think making our homes a sanctuary for our families and those who come and visit, that is, I think, just one of the biggest ways we can be a blessing to others. And then there are going to be times we need to go home to our own sanctuary as just kind of a way to recover from the day and the daily grind and that kind of thing too.
Mm. You know, as a pastor, this is something I want to hear about all the time. I want to know that my congregation is having people in the community over to their homes around the dinner table. It's a reminder that we are a city that's set on a hill. We need to be a place of refuge and strength because there are plenty of people out there that lack any structure in their lives. And we ought to be the people of hope. As the world's falling apart around us, we ought to be the people of hope so that people ask us, how do you have such confidence in a time like this? That's an opportunity for us to be witnesses as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. As we are carrying the light of Christ in us, people will notice a difference. And it's not like we're going to be, you know, perfect at this all the time or anything. But when people can see you walking through whatever circumstance you're in the midst of and you're carrying with you just this steady, resolute, solid surety, people, that's going to look different. When you're not falling apart and just stressed out all the time, and I know we have our moments and that's okay, but ultimately, over the long haul, when people see a quiet steadiness and a quiet settledness inside of you, they're going to want to know, where does that come from?
We've been talking with Denise Hughes, who's the author of Sanctuary, Cultivating a Quiet Heart in a Noisy and Demanding World. It is a 31-day devotional, and I would say a great resource to address an issue that captures the hearts and minds of not just the people in the church who need to find this sanctuary, but the world in which we're living, to provide that as a city on a hill. Denise, I think that you have captured a heartbeat of our times that our people are struggling with. Thank you for being so willing to share yourself in this book, but also your time with us as a part of the many voices for that one message.
Thank you so much. It was really a pleasure to be with you here today.
If you'd like to find out more information about Denise Hughes and her book called Sanctuary, I encourage you to give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. Or you can head over to our website at songtime.com. A great resource, especially in this time and this experience. So many things we need to be reminded of when it comes to how to find peace and rest in a chaotic world. This book is a great resource. Again, give us a call, 508-362-7070, or head over to our website at songtime.com. Well, today, as we continue our study in the Gospel of Luke, we'll turn to chapter 17. This message from David Murray will talk about a story of 10 lepers, all of them who sought healing from Jesus. Jesus answered their prayers, but one of them found something greater than simply a healing or an answer to prayer. He found a relationship with Jesus. Here is David Murray with a closer look at Luke 17.
Let us read again in Luke chapter 17 and verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? I want you to notice, first of all, about this one leper, the 1 out of 10, that he was loud. He was loud. And we see that in two ways. We see his loudness, first of all, when he's part of the 10. We read in verse 11, Jesus went to Jerusalem and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so Jesus is saying, go to the priests. Go and show yourself to them. And we read, as they went, they were cleansed. And so all 10 of them turn around and run back to give thanks to God, to the Lord himself. No, they don't. We read, and one of them, only this one, turns back and with a loud voice glorifies God. Is it any wonder Jesus says, where are the nine? All 10 were loud in praying, but only one is loud in praising. This one lifts up his voice in his praises as much as he did in his prayers. But where are the nine? It may be you look at your life and you can see many of God's good gifts. He's blessed you in your body, blessed you in your family, blessed you in your work. But what's your response? Maybe you've been loud in praying for these things, but when you've received them, suddenly your voice has gone silent. You want to start claiming credit maybe for yourself. You don't want to acknowledge that it's of the Lord. And so you're amongst those spoken of here. Where are the nine? But secondly, notice he was lowly. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. It's interesting, isn't it, that the two words there, glorified God, means exalted God. And as he's exalting God, he's falling down at Jesus' feet. You see, humility is the root of all true thankfulness. Humility is the soil in which thankfulness grows. A humble person is a person who's saying, I am needy. I need help. I cannot do it all myself. Anything I have is from another. And in that soil of humility, the beautiful flower of thankfulness grows. He's lowly. And therefore it's saying the nine are not. The nine are proud. The nine are no longer have any sense of need. But notice thirdly here, he was loving. As they're running to the law, he's running to the lawgiver. These men are acting in obedience. The nine are obeying, but they're not obeying out of love. Whereas this man comes with this overflowing heart. He knows that there are laws to obey. But let me get my Savior first. Are we with the nine or are we with the one? Are we about the law or the lawgiver? Where is the emphasis in our lives? Here we have this Samaritan. His first thoughts are of his deliverer. That's where his emphasis lay. You might put it this way. He wanted Christ to have the glory before he got the benefit. He was loving. Fourthly, though, he was lonely. Where are the nine? All 10 were lepers. All 10 were desperate to do something about it. All 10 thought Christ could do something. All 10 appealed to Christ to do something. All 10 obeyed Christ's words. All 10 believed that Christ's words would be true. But only one returned to give God the glory. You might think, well, that's a very small percentage. 1 out of 10? 10%? You read it and you think, that's shocking. Is it any better today? Do you think the percentage is any higher? When you look at the multitude of God's good gifts that are bestowed upon all men, all women, all boys, all girls, do you think it's higher than 10%? Let's narrow the circle. Just come within the church. Do you think the percentage is any better? And as the Lord looks at every heart, he's looking for that love. He's looking for that humility. He's looking for that thankfulness. Is it there? Is it there? Is it there? 1 in 10? Maybe it is sometimes. And the Lord is looking. Where are the nine? They're sitting there, but where are the nine's hearts? But lastly, he was the least expected. He was the least expected. It's just so ironic that Jesus tells this and the one out of the nine is the only Samaritan. Sorry, the one out of the ten is the only Samaritan in the ten. This is agony to the Jewish hearers. If anyone was going to be singled out for a beacon of warning to avoid, it would be the Samaritan. They're waiting, you know, in all these situations, they're waiting for the Samaritans to be the bad guys and the Jews to be the good guys. And Jesus here again says, it was a stranger. a Samaritan, a hated, despised, rejected Samaritan. The least expected is the most thankful. Sometimes those with the least are the most thankful. He was the least expected. Why should there be a 1-9 or a 9-1 or a 50-50 or any split at all? What has God not done for you? What has God held back from you? What legitimate excuse can you have for not humbling yourself, acknowledging your need, saying, I am a leper in need of cleansing? He is willing, he is able, and has cleansed. What are you going to do with that cleansing? But return and give glory to God. Are you going to stay with the 9? Or are you going to join the 1? Lift up your voice loudly as he did. Humble yourself lowly as he did. Be loving as he was. Be prepared for loneliness as he also was. And startle everyone at being the least expected.
This lesson of the 10 lepers is such a beautiful story to teach to the little children because it's so simple. They can understand it. But we want to teach children more than just proper manners, teaching them how to say please and thank you and you're welcome. What we really want our children to understand is a heart of gratitude and understanding the gift that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. And this is a lesson that even we as adults could take the time to truly learn from this story. Press into this story to truly capture a heart of gratitude, realizing the gift of our salvation, what we have truly seen and what we have received from Jesus. Of all of these 10 lepers, they all received the same blessing in the healing. They came to Jesus and prayed, heal us, show mercy to us. And Jesus answered their prayer. And they all went to go to the priest to find out that they had been cleansed. And somewhere along the line, they all had the realization. And yet 9 of them chose the what they had gotten from Jesus was enough. That's all they wanted from Jesus was their physical healing. To them, that was it. That's all they needed. And they were going to go on to their own treasures, their own kingdoms, their own earthly possessions. And yet one of them realized something greater. One of the 10 realized that he had been given a greater gift, something that was beyond what he was even asking for. And he went back to give Jesus thanks. And in so doing, he was able to have a relationship with Jesus and find his salvation. Throughout all of these stories and these encounters that Jesus is having as he's nearing the cross, we see that those who chose Jesus over other earthly things, whether it's their good works, whether it's the gifts that God has given them, or even their own lives and their own righteousness, those who chose Jesus have the greater treasure. It's a lesson for you and me to choose things that are of greater value. What will you choose? What is the greater gift here? Is it the physical healing, or is it the salvation that we seek? And what is it that we give thanks for? Are we truly overwhelmed with gratitude by the gift of Jesus Christ? If not, then we need to linger a little bit longer at the foot of the cross and consider the price that was paid for you and for me to secure our salvation with God. I hope that this encourages you, and I hope that you'll go back and read Luke 17 on your own. There's nothing like reading it for yourself and discovering these truths and being reminded of the love and the mercies of God. If we've been able to bless you, let us know. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com or look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, Luke 14:11. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.